Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode, we have Larry Foyt, team manager for the legendary A.J. Foyt racing team. Myself and Robin Miller sat down with Larry at the recent Phoenix Open Test leading into the 2017 IndyCar season. Among all the teams in IndyCar, Foyt's has undergone the greatest number of changes. Coming out of 2016, Takuma Sato is gone after four years, one win, a lot of replacement parts. Jack Hawksworth has left for sports cars with Lexus. That means that Carlos Munoz has come in as the, call him the lead driver. Connor Daly is in as his teammate. They have made a significant change on the engineering front where Will Phillips is in now as technical director and also Carlos's engineer. They've even changed engine manufacturers, gone from Honda to Chevy, and they've also split their effort. So one car, the 14, is run out of Texas, a traditional spot. And Connor's number 4 is run out of Indianapolis. So it's just a complete year of change, starting over after, you know, frankly, being serial underperformers with the previous lineup. So they are trying everything they can for their sponsor, ABC Supply, to get back into the mix. Robin and I had probably 20 minutes, half hour with Larry, dug through a lot of things while we sat down. So hopefully you enjoy that. You can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, obviously through your favorite podcast aggregator. And also, we have a new Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page where all 119 episodes are archived. This makes 120 with Larry. So off we go.
Well, obviously, we were coming off a tough year, you know, and that makes it easier to do something, to do an overhaul like we did. But it wasn't just that, you know, it's tough. It's funny. I was on an airplane going to the Sebring test, and there was an IndyCar fan on the plane, and he recognized me and he said, "Hey, you're doing a great job, keep it up." And I said, "Boy, no we're not." And he said, "Hey, you gotta remember, you're racing against some 800-pound gorillas out there." Mm. And it may, you know, it's true, we're still in the grand scheme of things a smaller team in this paddock compared to the Penske's and the Ganassi's. That being said, we still feel like we can fight for wins and should be fighting for wins.
Yeah.
And so that's why a year like last year, even though there are those moments where we, you know, whether it was, I remember St. Peter Barber, where we're 1-2 in a practice session, they say, okay, we have everything it takes, but we're not putting the whole weekend together. And so that's where you have to step back and say, okay, how do we really keep growing as a team to put everything together? And we have struggled, no doubt, since we grew to 2 cars. We haven't been able to put the right groups together to have the benefit, to yield the benefit of the 2 cars and be where we want to be as a race team. So again, part of that's where, you know, fiscally doesn't make, or financially doesn't make a lot of sense to run one shop out of Indy, and there's a lot of questions about that. But we felt like getting the experienced people to just help get both teams to the same level,
yeah,
is what we had to do, and that's why we made that decision.
Was there something about the 2016 season that made you say the timing is right, or would you say it was more of an accumulation of multiple seasons where, again, you knew the potential was there, but you weren't getting, you know, you obviously had a great win with Takuma at Long Beach. I think you and everyone expected this. We've opened the door. Right. There should be more following this. But when those didn't follow, would you say it was an accumulation of years that led to this big change? Or is there something in 16 where you're like, okay, this is really the message?
Well, he said, when we came out in 13 and we won Long Beach, we finished second at Brazil, we're leading the points going into Indy, everything felt really like we were really on our top of our game. And then I think what happened was the bigger teams, their resources started to overtake us, and so we started to fall behind. So then that's where I really felt like we needed to grow. You know, being that one team ranger out there for us just wasn't going to work, and getting that benefit of just a multi-car team is where we needed to be to compete with these bigger teams. And then I just failed to get the right people in for that second car to gain what we needed to out of that. But now with moving that shop to Indy, we've got some really good people up there, got some experience, and we're gaining on it. So then what happened, I think, that, you know, going into the off season with obviously Ganassi making the switch to Honda, I think it just opened it up for us to where it made sense for us to go to Chevrolet, and so that's kind of where, you know, I think that's why it happened the way it did happen this year.
Michael said a little while ago, and I was telling him when we walked in here, everything they learned with the Chevy Aero kit and the Chevy, he says, they're starting from scratch. He said, nothing, no setup sheets. He said, it's like it used to be in the old days. It's a brand new deal. Have you guys found the same thing? And maybe that's the biggest challenge?
Yes, no, absolutely. It's going to be a huge challenge. I mean, it feels like right now we're 3 years behind, you know, honestly. It's going to be a super, everything we've taken on is ambitious, don't get me wrong. But that being said, Chevrolet has been super to work with already and helpful. And we're learning quickly with the brief testing that we've even had and with the testing rules this year. It's certainly a challenge. And I know there's going to be plenty of race weekends we're going to leave and say, I wish we were starting this race weekend right here, you know, with what we know.
We do this over again?
Right. But that being said, no, we're really excited. Like I said, they've been really great to work with and just learning. I think once we start to learn a little bit of the basics about this kit, then we can start to apply it everywhere we go.
I think the other thing that just cracks me up is Will Phillips has always been really respected over sports cars or Indy cars. Getting him to run things, it's just great though. When I think about AJ in the old days of the Lolas, I ain't having no foreign engineers. But I think he's started to embrace the fact that that's what you got to have. We got to have as much depth as we can. And Will's such a look. It's so funny because you got the volatile AJ Foyt and you got Will who never says five words.
Yeah, no, Will's been great to work with. Really, you know, we've been lucky. We had Don Halliday, who was awesome to work with, just a super guy and a good calming influence for AJ, and Will's the same way. And, you know, AJ, when AJ talks to someone for the first time, he either respects you or he doesn't from that point on. He knows either you know what you're talking about or you don't when it comes to race cars. And so I think obviously just talking with Will for a brief time, he's already respects him a great deal. So definitely excited about Will joining the team. That's a great piece of experience to lead up our engineering group, because we do our engineering group is certainly an international group with we got an Italian and some Americans, and Will being an Englishman, so a good group.
Also gone through a significant driver change as well. You've gone from a older veteran in Takuma and a young kid coming up in Jack Hawksworth to, I guess you could say, a young veteran in Carlos, who's age-wise young, but he does have quite a bit of experience. And you have Connor as well, who impressed in his rookie year last year. Any trepidations going to such a young average age among both your drivers to try and help dig you out?
You know, it's we spoke to a lot of veterans as well going in, and so it wasn't just that we were after young talent, but we felt like they're the two best guys out there that we could you know, bring aboard. Obviously, you can't argue with Carlos's record at Indianapolis. I mean, just a real level-headed, you know, young guy. I don't want to call him a kid. He's a young man and has worked really hard to get to where he's at. So enjoyed working with him so far. And Connor's done a great job. You know, obviously last year had a lot of exciting runs, and he showed that if you can get him up front, he'll stay there. So he's a great fit with the group, I think. Both just young, eager guys, and I think that's what you need. You've got some great veterans in this series, no doubt, but also the young guys that are hungry can make a difference in this series, too. So,
is there a sense of knowing patience will be involved yet again, not only with two young drivers that are getting to learn the culture and how you do things, engineering change, engine and aero kit manufacturer change? I know leaving 2016, you were probably in a, all right, we want to go win now. We're tired of waiting. Is there any inner conflict of, I think we've made all the right changes to get there, but I think we're still going to have to wait?
Well, you never know. I mean, every year you think you've made the right changes, right? And then part of what we don't have going into this year that a lot of teams do have is that consistency. Kind of like Mike Hull said, our setup sheets are almost, you know, almost thrown out. We're almost starting from scratch. So, building that database up again and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's a race car. It's got four tires on it. It's got a gas pedal and a brake. So these things, it's not rocket science in that aspect. You get guys like Will, and then you have good drivers, and you have a good crew and mechanics. The car's mechanically sound. And I think we've put all that together. And so that for me, is once we get going, there should be weekends that we should be able to win a race, no doubt.
Larry, ABC Supplies, now the Target's gone the longest sponsor in IndyCar, and they've obviously been a great sponsor. They came to you guys and said, let's go to two cars. I mean, you can't ask for any more. Is there an immediacy to a pressure to deliver for them? Have they been pretty good about, hey, we want more results? I mean, is this, you feel like they're kind of not pressuring you to have results, but they maybe this is, you know, you've got to act now so you don't lose them.
For sure, no, they know definitely that we want to be competitive. They want to be competitive, of course. That being said, they do so much outside of just the races and with so many people that we try to be, the whole program's just been amazingly successful, and they're more like family, you know, with us than just a sponsor. They're not just a sponsor. They've been great, and just great friends, been just a blessing for us to be with. And so we definitely want to perform for them. A lot of these things we're doing, we're really trying to use every resource we have to do the best we can for them. So I know we definitely want to get wins for them. Absolutely. I mean, that's the end goal of this game. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully they'll be around for as long as we are.
But it doesn't feel like, in the old days, if somebody like Larry Cannon brought Craco Stereo around, we go, well, they'll be gone. Bray Hall or somebody, Maury Crane, snapped them up immediately. But it doesn't feel like there's a lot of people like hovering around ABC. We can get these guys, because I think they kind of understand.
There probably have been plenty of people hovering around ABC, but they've been loyal to you. I think that's...
There have, yeah. I've seen the proposals.
That's what I'm saying. You know no, that there's people out there saying, these people are... This is a big-time sponsor. We've got to get them.
Absolutely. But I think people see that it transcends just the sponsorship. Our relationship with ABC is... and it started when AJ really hit it off with Ken Hendricks, and then it's grown, and with David Luck and Keith Rosales and just everyone, it's just such an amazing. I always say they're one of the largest. I call it a family company because they're so big, but they operate. They have such engagement throughout their whole company, and they do so much for IndyCar. You know, I mean, I got to think they're probably the largest ticket holder easily of people that come to IndyCar races and all the exposure that they bring. So, just an amazing company to be with, and there would be nothing better for us to start getting away. They definitely want us to be competitive. We haven't done it in the last couple of years, but we'll get there for them.
What can you see within the engineering ranks already, knowing that Don, having been moving towards less of a race weekend, race engineer role to more of a overarching technical director role in recent years, what are you seeing within the revised AJ Foyt Racing engineering core that gives you optimism that you can start to fight with these 800-pound gorillas you mentioned? Like, I know Will's here to take on that task, but it's hard to say we're going into race one fully prepped. You seeing the indicators that you're on the right track there?
Well, definitely. He's been out on the race engineering side for a couple of years. So I think he's knocking the dust off a little bit, but I see him just already, in the way he works. It's a bit similar to Don. I think with Don, Don was trying to retire. He's got other business interests in the last couple of years, and I kept saying, no, you can't leave yet. So, I think just Will's fully committed, and we've got some young guys also that kind of know the way we operate, and Will's a good calming influence on the young guys as well. So I feel good. You know, we had a really strong Sebring test just right out of the box. I think with the road course package, we were learning so much, but today we'll really still be pretty conservative, I think. So it might not look great on the timesheets leaving here, but we don't want to. We're still in kind of a conservative mode and just learning this kit and running through basics. So there were a lot of sweeps and things like that we went through yesterday just to collect data so that we can make better decisions in the future. So we haven't really been trying for all out speed, and it's more about just learning the basics of how this Chevy kit works.
How do you view the interesting dynamic of having one car housed out of your long-standing Texas base and one car out of Indy? Are you view 2017 as a, I don't know if experiment, but a year of seeing how that works? If it works well, do you consider moving both cars to Indy? Or if you like it, you stay with the split program? it's unique for sure.
It is unique. And I, in the decision-making process, I think the biggest thing for me was I have found in this job that in this sport, you are only as good as your people. I think that can be said across the board in business. But by trying to run both teams out of Indy, we just could not get the full-time people to move down. And I, you know, maybe they're nervous about if it doesn't work out at Foyt Racing, there's nowhere else to go, right? But a lot of the people have children in school, you know, things are said, their wives have jobs, whatever it is. It was the family dynamic of getting people to relocate to Texas, which when I go up to the Indy shop in the winter, I think, y'all are crazy. Why do y'all want to live here? No, but that kind of drove that decision when the people came available that we could get, but they were based out of Indy. Said, let's try this. We know some challenges are going to pop up, but having some good experienced IndyCar mechanics and not having to bring so many young guys in learning, I think is really what spearheaded that, and so that's where I think it'll pay off.
Tell me about your young drivers and how you see them fitting into AJ Foyt Racing's, you know, rebirth is probably a little bit of a strong term, but this kind of reclamation of where you want to be. If you look at a Dale Coyne Racing, for example, Bourdais just moved there. We all know Bourdais is not the silent type. He's not one who's going to keep his opinions to himself, and none of those things are negative. But you know he's going to be an engine within that team. Mm-hmm. Change this, do that, why aren't, fix. Do you look at Carlos? Do you look at Connor as drivers where you would want them to try and be in that leadership role within the team? Or do you prefer a structure where yourself and other management run the team, you guys do the driving?
Yeah, definitely. There's still, and even though Carlos, at a young age, he's got quite a bit of IndyCar experience. That being said, we've also been in this business for quite some time. So I think a good mixture of both is fine. I think guys like Carlos who have that much experience know what they want. They should know what they want out of a race car at that point, what they needed to feel like to get to the end of a race at the front. So that being said, I think the driver and the engineer, especially with Will, I think if Carlos just tells Will what he needs, Will be able to find it for him. And Connor's still young, but he's pretty opinionated. I see that early.
No,
already.
Where does he get that from, Robin? So, any ideas?
Well, I think that's the thing though, that's interesting about that is I think people underestimate Connor sometimes. Like he's been, he went and talked to Mike Hull, and he's talked to some a team that had a big crossover like they have, and he's just trying to learn as much as he can because he's like, I want to get as much as we can out of every time we're on the track because we're starting all over and. Right. He's real concerned about making, you know, he wants to make a good impression and keep this job. And I just like the fact that as much as I talked to AJ over the winter, you need AJ Foyt needs an American driver. This is part of Americana. We need AJ Foyt Racing to have an American driver. And I think he was impressed the first time you guys tested him in Sebring. And I think to Marshall's point, he's not going to be to Bourdais level where he's but I think he's going to be a little more. I think he's going to be a little more sure about what he wants because I think he knows what he wants already.
And I think both guys just have to be a little patient here early on in the season because there is a lot to learn with this Chevy kit. And that's why I think you can't get caught up with the timesheets right now. You just have to stay calm. Let's gather the information we need so we can get a good race car under you. And then you can go do your job. So I think for both of them, they've been pretty good about it. Both of them know there's a lot to learn and a lot of changes with the Chevy kit and with the team and new people. And it takes a little time for all of it to come together. But like I said, already pretty positive with what I'm seeing.
And the other thing that's kind of sad is testing so limited. In the old days, you guys would have been pounding around for 2 weeks by now, and you'd have so you'd be so far ahead of where you are.
For sure, no, for sure. So that it's a tough year for so many changes with the brief amount of testing that were allotted. But that I totally understand that decision, and that's a cost saving decision, and I'm behind that too because we still spend a lot. You know, it takes a lot to do this for sure.
So the last thing we'll close on was a bit of an unexpected thank you to you from James Hinchcliffe. because
is that because Connor's moving out?
That, no, he said now, thanks to Larry, Connor's going to have a freaking paycheck and he can actually afford to live at his own place and I'll get my couch back. So, you know, on top of restructuring your IndyCar team, you're also helping one of the other IndyCar drivers get his house back, like you said. So, see, positivity and happiness.
Well, the thing about it is that, you know, I think in Connor's, he's won just about everywhere he's gone, and so nobody deserves anything. That's the wrong word, but he said last year, I just like to have a full-time ride and get paid. I don't care what they, I just like to have a full, I think I've gotten to the point, I just need to have a full-time ride, and I make a little bit of money so I can live. So I think he fulfilled that obligation.
Yeah. No, we have a, I mean, I know we have high expectations for him, like you said. The first time we tested him, he was very good. And watching him last year, we always kind of kept an eye on him. And that was a great experience for him last year. And so, yeah, no reason that with at some places we should be very competitive.
And that was Larry Foyt looking at the season ahead for AJ Foyt Racing Supertechs. They certainly want to be in victory lane. They finally made a number of changes that I think will definitely improve the likelihood of that happening. Going to be tough, though, in that Chevy camp with proven programs like Team Penske, Champions, Ed Carpenter Racing, which gave Penske a serious run for their money last year. So they're now the third Chevy team, third on the depth chart, but they also have a lot of learning to do, which means it might be a little optimistic to think that they can go out, beat all the Hondas, and beat all the Chevys in year one. But I would say they are definitely capable of getting to that point by the time we get to 2018. So again, get every episode of this Marshall Pruitt podcast on iTunes. We have the full archives, tons of good stuff there. I am completely biased, obviously, but lots of great stuff, legends of the sport, current stars, in-car audio, ambient audio, just a variety of sound fun. All right, as always, I'm Marshall Pruitt. Thanks for listening.